that theme music can mean only one thing, and that is it's time for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, we wanted to make it your show in the beginning over 10 years ago, and you have taken that on and made it an impactful broadcast each and every day. I am Jerry Usher, coming to you live from Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, and I'm with Debbie Georgiani, who is at her home in Arizona.
Hey, absolutely. Deb. Hi, Jerry. So glad you are with us today, and we're going to take on this topic together, the Take Two style, and I love that. And it's really cool because I think it lets everyone appreciate our priests and the words that we hear in the homilies, right? And so we're asking today if you can share a homily that you'll never forget. Was there a certain homily that just stands out in your head and you really just went, wow, that was powerful. Father really knocked it out of the ballpark and you want to share it with the world. Now, you can also share, if you feel you want to, the Father's, you know, name, and we put him in the prayer book. You don't have to do that, but you can if you want to do a little shout out to the great priest that gave that homily. But I know that it's just one of those things when we hear a great homily, it sticks with us, Jerry. Mm-hmm. And I know that's the topic today. So 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986 to share the best homily that you've heard that you will never forget.
Okay, maybe it was one that you saw on EWTN TV with one of the friars. Maybe it was something you heard on EWTN radio. It might have been at your parish, perhaps when you were traveling for work or on vacation somewhere. We always love the homilies that our priests and our deacons give. It could have been a homily given by a deacon as well. And we would love to hear from you how that has just remained with you for maybe a very long time. Maybe it was rather recent. But in either case, we'd love to have you call in and share it with us here at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Debbie, I know the Take Two family, they pay attention when they're at Mass. They're not dozing off. They're not on their gadgets. They're holy and they're devout. So we know they're paying close attention to the homilies. So we'll hear from a lot of them today, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And I'll share a homily that has stayed with me for many, many years. Actually, I can tell you since 1988, I believe it was. That's how I remember it. It's so clear. I can actually see the priest giving the homily, going back and forth on the altar and what he shared with all of the parishioners. It was very interesting, but it changed my whole life, actually. So I can share that in a little bit. But now, Jerry, we do have a feature. We have the texting feature. I don't know how you're going to share the homily in a text, but maybe you can just say that it was about this or the topic about that, and you can keep it very brief, but you text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and the best homily you've ever heard and that you will never forget. And just know that message and data rates apply. Maybe you can say it was a homily about marriage or a homily about, you know, recurring sin or something of that nature. And just to give us an idea of the topics, we're really trying to dive deeply into the details of what really appeals to people.
Yeah, maybe it was one of those homilies that you maybe you felt like the priest or the deacon was speaking directly to you. That happens a lot of times, and the Holy Spirit works that way. Sometimes you just feel like, I mean, maybe you go up to Father or the deacon after Mass and say, you know what, that homily, if it wasn't for anybody else in this church, it was for me. Mm-hmm. So maybe the Lord spoke directly to you through the preaching of one of our priests or bishops or deacons, or maybe Pope Leo or Pope Francis. So we want to hear from you if you had a memorable homily at some point in your life, one that you have not forgotten and that you believe you never will forget, and maybe how that has changed you a little bit. Maybe it changed the way you approach going to Mass or practicing your faith or living your life in general. So we want to hear from you, the Take Two family. Couple of phone lines still open here, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And in case my big sister, Marianne, the oldest of our family, is listening, sometimes she tunes in to Take Two when she's available. It is her birthday today on this
beautiful. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Marianne. We just wanted to hope you have a beautiful day and just a wonderful celebration. I'm sure you're going to get together with your daughter, and that's just wonderful. And yes, happy birthday to my big sister, Marianne. And I will tell you that I think it's so cool that she's born on the feast day of St. Joseph of Cupertino, the flying saint. Mm-hmm. I love that. Right. You know, great Capuchin who used to go into that ecstasy and prayer and fly up to the ceiling of the church. I think that is just phenomenal how God mm-hmm. works.
Amen. Amen. Well, Debbie, you won't argue with this. I'm going to throw the line out there as well. If there are any priests or deacons listening, because we know that they do, Debbie, they listen to the program, and maybe you would like to share how the Holy Spirit really inspired you to go in this direction or that direction over a certain gospel or at a certain time when, you know, something was going on in the world. Maybe you preached a message that was well received, or maybe it was criticized. Who knows?
But I wasn't going to say it, but you said it, so that's good.
So if there are any of our clergy listening today and a homily has changed your life, you've seen it impact other people,
yeah.
you can call. We'll put you even to the front of the line if you want at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Okay, so just in a couple minutes, we're going to hit the pause button, and our wonderful producer, Michael McCall, is right on top of things, and so he will hit that button for us to get a little quick water break and hear some announcements. But when we come back, well, Sarah will be first from Ohio leading the discussion on the homilies that we will never forget. I also want to thank our wonderful call screener, Matt, who's answering the calls. Matt Kabinski is phenomenal, and he is busy today. We have full phone lines. Pedro's on social media. We love the social media chats. I'm waving to you guys. I love being on social media with you. It's amazing when you guys get those conversations going. So we're asking today if you could share with all of us, the Take Two family, a homily that you will never forget, something that has stayed with you, impacted you, changed the way you look at life, changed the way you look at yourself, really deepened your faith life. We want to get into the details, not because we're nosy, but because we want to learn and grow together. So the number to dial if you want to be on air with us to share that homily with the world, it's 833-288-EW. UTN 833-288-3986. What do you say, Jer?
I'm looking forward to this. You and I, we all love great homilies, and we're going to hear about so many of them here on the show today. So Debbie just gave you the phone number. When an open line becomes available, please join us today and make this another great episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. A lot of you have homilies that were memorable in the past. Sarah, Kelly, Dennis, Nancy, and the others, we're going to get to your calls in a moment. I just have to mention, first of all, this is really, really important. And I can't tell you how many people have taken this advice, this encouragement, and done exactly what I'm going to exhort maybe you to do, and that is start a Catholic radio station. How can I possibly do that, you might be asking? Well, it's easier than you might think. You can find out all about starting a Catholic radio station and get the help you need where you live. And it'd be powered by the truth of the church and EWTN's dynamic radio programming and lots of great advice and help along the way. Email Steve at this address. It's radio@EWTN.com. His name is Steve, and the email address is radio@EWTN.com.
Okay, if you would like to jump in on the conversation talking about the homilies that we truly remember and we love, then this is the show to do it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Okay, as promised, we're going to Sarah. Sarah's in Ohio on Annunciation Radio. Sarah, you get to lead the discussion. Welcome.
Good morning. I wasn't actually expecting that, but that's okay.
Welcome.
My family, I have four children, and we had been on vacation to Nashville, Tennessee, from where we live in Ohio. And my husband and I actually, because of we were with the family reunion, he and I actually went to different masses. But the one I went to, he was like, that's a great homily, you know. So I went the next day, and the priest was an older priest, And I don't necessarily remember the homily itself, but there was a lot of kid commotion during the Mass, including my own youngest, who was probably four at that time. And before the priest dismissed us, he said, children are the life of the church. And he called all of the parents with small children down to the front of the church, and he gave us a special blessing, and he laid hands on every one of the children and every one of the parents.
Wow.
And it touches my heart. It still makes me cry.
Yeah, he stole my words, Sarah. I was going to say, I'm on the verge of tearing up a little bit. You know, it's just beautiful to see a priest who is a father. That's why we call them father. They are spiritual fathers to us. And he recognized, absolutely, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, get upset when there's a crying baby or a kid's a little, you know, restless or something like that. But they're not only the future of the church, they are the church today. And we need to really, you know, recognize them as being, you know, they're baptized. They, when they reach a certain age, they can receive the sacraments. So I think it was a beautiful thing, Debbie, that this priest did.
I totally agree, and it brought tears to my eyes. I just love when our priests show that side of them, where they're really connecting with the parishioners and the vocations in the church, and really just, like you said, being the spiritual father, Jerry, that's so true, but just really going to that heart level where it really touched you, Sarah. You can hear it in your voice, so it has stayed with you, and, you know, we got Jerry was right at the beginning of the show. We have a lot of priests that listen to Take Two because they say that it gives them homily material. And you just really helped a lot of priests today, Sarah. What do you say?
I'm very grateful. Actually, I wrote a letter to that priest.
Oh.
And I've never heard back. But I wanted him to know how important it was that he did that. And even when he started Mass, there was a lot of... at that point, there was a lot of motion in my life, and even the way he began Mass, starting with the sign of the cross, it was like, oh, I need to slow down. This is a holy place.
Right.
And so how the priests present themselves is really important to the congregation, because sometimes they also are, you know, like they have so much. My own pastor has two parishes and a chapel and a school, and he's constantly in motion. And so it doesn't always mean that he too has to have that breath of moment to say, okay, this is, we are at the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah.
This is where Jesus is.
Yep.
And
we have to
be like Martha or like Mary. Be at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah, stay in the moment, be present, be intentional, absolutely. Oh, Sarah, you nailed it. I'm so glad you sent a letter too. That is just a beautiful added touch to that, to affirm what he is doing with connecting with the parishioners. Wow, that was really special. Sarah, you're awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing from your heart. We truly appreciate it. We are actually going to go to Kelly next, Jerry, driving through New York, listening on Sirius XM 130, telling us about the homily that she'll never forget. Hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, I'm so hoping that I'm not going to lose signal. I'm driving. So the homily that I remember, I was like doing the math while I was waiting for my turn, was, I think, 1993. I lived in Connecticut at the time, and I went to a small church in Baltic, Connecticut, St. Joseph's Parish, and there was a very young priest there who had only been, it was kind of actually a lay vocation, he'd only been ordained a year or two, and I had heard that the diocese was thinking about not ordaining him because he was so anxious and nervous, and they didn't think he was going to be able to preach. And he delivered the most beautiful pro-life homily, and it just stuck with me. And it started with, he was talking about why there is no respect for life in the world today. And the reason is because it started when people lost respect for the act that gives life. And that started with contraception. So you're not respecting your fertility. You're trying to block it. And then that affects your marriage and your relationships. And when you don't have respect for that, then you failed contraception leads to abortion. And then you lose even more respect for life. And so we have hardly any respect for life. We don't respect people who are disabled. We don't respect people who are old. I'm old now. I wasn't then. but it just resounded with me. He did it so articulately, and I have actually shared that message with people ever since then. So how many? It's been like 30 years. So because it just made so much sense, and he made all the dots connect. And so, Father Joseph, if you're listening, or anybody who knows Father Joseph, I think he's still at St. Joseph's Church in Baltimore, Connecticut. I just wanted you to know. Oh, geez, I'm gonna cry. It touched me so much, and it's a message that I continue to kind of share with people because of that anxious priest that they weren't going to ordain, and he's right. Just awesome.
Well, this is the second call, Kelly, that we've taken on the show, and the second one in a row where you got emotional, like Sarah did a little bit ago in the call before you. And we knew there'd be a lot of great homilies shared on this program, but we didn't necessarily anticipate just how deeply people would be affected by these to the point of almost, having tears well up. And I'm just thinking of this wonderful, beautiful priest. Praise be to God. He was ordained a little bit older, like I'm 64 now, and hopefully, God willing, be ordained in a couple years. I'm back in the seminary now. So, God's call is there, and it never is going to go away. But I just wanted to say, with regard to this priest and all of our priests, Kelly and Debbie, we know this, they are anointed. They have the charism of holy orders. They have the gift of holy orders and the graces that come with that, and also the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I just I'm picturing this priest, Debbie. I'm trying to see him, People knew him mm-hmm. to be this anxious, maybe not very self-confident priest, but he gets up there mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit, he prepared well. He did the human part of it, but the Holy Spirit just really led him, and he's probably given countless great, impactful homilies.
Yeah, beautiful. And I put Father Joseph in the prayer book. Kelly, I agree with Jerry, everything he said. Kelly, that was just a remarkable homily that you shared and how you shared it from the heart, and so thank you so very, very much. We can hear that you're driving, so drive safely, and definitely call us again, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kelly. God bless.
Thank you. Beautiful call.
Yeah, we're asking you to reminisce a little bit if there was a homily or more than one, maybe, in your case, possibly, that was impactful for you that you haven't forgotten, a homily you'll never forget during an experience at Mass. Give us a call. Share that with us because, like Debbie said at the start of the show, this is a way of kind of giving a shout out for our spiritual fathers, our priests, and, of course, our deacons as well. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Let's say hello to Nancy in Cincinnati. Nancy is listening on Sirius XM 130 today. Hi, Nancy. Welcome.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Just fine. Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Nancy, we can hear you. Are you hearing us?
Yep, I hear you perfectly.
Okay. Feel free to share. Can't wait to hear what you share. Go ahead.
My homily that sticks in my head, my husband said, it was over 20 years ago, and it was Father Ober. We were living in Cranberry, Pennsylvania at the time, and this is really concise, and you'll know the gospel he was. We read that week. He said, a lot of people criticize St. Peter because he had a little lapse in faith when Jesus was walking across the water and then he fell in. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want you to turn that around and think of this, that Peter got out of the boat. And then how many times do we, and including myself, he said, fail to get out of the boat? And since that homily, my husband and I use that as a code word when we're missing opportunities to get out of the boat. And there's an awful lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm. There mm-hmm. sure are.
Wow. That was 20 years ago, you said. 20 years ago. Wow. Incredible. Yeah. So he painted a picture for you from Scripture so that you could apply it now to your life, to your lives, to your experiences, to your opportunities, like you said, in really for a really, really tremendous deep spiritual growth. How can you give us one little example that maybe we can just hold on to and so we can extend this this idea of the homily that you have received?
Here's an example. I'm a Stephen minister at my church, and I've been a Stephen minister for quite some time. So But when the opportunity, they first started it, I thought, well, you know, it's going to be very time consuming and I'm working a lot. And, you know, I think it's a wonderful ministry, but is it really, you know, do I have something to contribute? Mm-hmm. And my husband reminded me, get out of the boat.
I love it. Mm-hmm.
You're working, you're trained as a nurse and a social worker. Get going. This is
yes.
for you. And it
yes.
has been.
Okay.
You know, I'm a Stephen leader and active in that.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful ministry, by the way. That's a beautiful ministry, the Stephen ministry. But go ahead.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other small ones when one of our kids says, I don't really want to go to mass. The kids have too many sports and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, do you hold your tongue or do you get out of your boat in a very nice way?
Mm.
So, you know, it's to speak up in those occasions with love and kindness.
Right.
But not let all of them go. And some of them do go. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Wow. So that homily worked. Yeah, that homily
got some
worked.
Mileage in your, out of that one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, got some mileage out of that one. Nancy, that is awesome. Thank you so much. And tell your husband thank you, too, for you guys sticking together like that and reminding each other. That's huge. So
well,
thank you.
Thanks for having the topic.
You're welcome. Thanks for being a part of it. Great stuff. Great conversation today about a homily you'll never forget. Please join us if you have one that you'd like to share. David is in Mobile, Alabama, listening today on Sirius XM 130. Hi, David. Welcome. You're up next.
Good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Doing well, David. How about you?
Oh, just fine. Just fine.
Good.
My comment was not necessarily first-time caller, by the way, long-time listener. But,
oh, welcome.
It's not necessarily a homily, but a quote that made me look at things a lot differently. And it was, when you got more years behind you than you have ahead of you, you look at life differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that sure, you know, it sure impacted me because, it started me, I'm not yet a Catholic, but on my way. And, you know, I'm on the bench, which ain't made the team yet because I've done OCIA and everything. But it's just a realization as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So you're working your way into the Catholic Church. That's awesome. An early welcome home. I think that's wonderful. That's beautiful. But you're spot on. I mean, I'm going to be 60 this year. Jerry's a little bit over 60. I mean, Jerry and I talk about it all the time, right, Jerry? That we don't have a lot of time left, you know? But what do you say?
I'm 61, and, you know, my wife, she's a cradle Catholic, and she started going to Mass. Basically, quick backstory, my biological daughter passed away about four and a half years ago, and she was my only child, but I do have two wonderful stepdaughters. That started our journey, and then she, I guess, for lack of a better term, nagged me to go to church, and I started going and I liked it and decided to take the journey. And, you know, these priests did not get a lot of shout outs. And I told my Monsignor, and I give him a shout out, Monsignor Martin, that, you know, don't ever think you're not affecting somebody when you're preaching, because to reel me in, I'll tell you, was no small feat.
Well, thanks be to God, David, that your heart was sensitive to what you were hearing. The Holy Spirit was definitely at work, is definitely at work in your life. And I joined Debbie in welcoming you home in anticipation of your entering into full communion with the Catholic Church. And God bless your wife, too. It sounds like you both have, you're going to be so blessed that you've done this, you know, that you're both walking.
Right.
Go ahead, Deb. I know you have
No, real quickly, because we're going to hear the music. David, can you give us your daughter's first name? We want to put her in the prayer book.
April.
Thank you so much, sir. Sorry for your loss. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes. No. April's a name we'll never forget. David, we'll be praying for her every day and for you and all of your family and your loved ones. Thank you, David. You hear the music. We got to pause real quickly, but many more of your homilies you're going to share coming up soon on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Okay, this is turning out to be just a spectacular episode of Take Two, and it's just amazing. We're getting a lot of growth, spiritual standing here, a lot of growth. I think a lot of priests or bishops that are listening right now are getting some great homily material. So that's fabulous. It's a win-win all the way around. But Jerry, we're going to get to Dennis next in New York. But I wanted just to do this great shout out and congratulations going out to another great EWTN partner. Good Shepherd Radio, serving Jackson, Michigan, marks 11 years with us. So congratulations to Bob Look and his team at WJKN AM and FM from your friends here at EWTN.
All right, very good. We're talking about memorable homilies, one that you heard that you'll never forget. Dennis is next in New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, and hi, Debbie and Jerry. And before I mention my particular homily, I just want to mention that a previous caller about St. Peter walking on the water toward Jesus, the priest said when Peter took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. Mm-hmm. And I'm using that with the homily the priest gave last month that's been with me every day. Mm-hmm. And he said the devil hates two things. He hates priests because they bring people to God. So we have to pray for our priests. But second of all, he hates families, because when they're intact, it's hard for him to cause trouble and do evil things. So with that, Debbie and Jerry, I'm dealing with someone very close to me. We'll call them Kyle and Kelly. If we could have all your listeners just say a prayer for their healing in their marriage, okay. I would appreciate it. And I'm going to offer my rosary up today for the caller before me, for his daughter, April. And God bless him on his journey into our faith. I listen to you, too, all the time. And, Debbie, I listen to you on Saturday mornings, the spirit world. You are the best. And, Jerry, thank you for all you do. Bless you all, and God bless all your listeners. And please pray for Kyle and Kelly.
We will thank do
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dennis.
Absolutely. I put it in the book, Dennis, and I put you in the book as well, and any other personal prayer intentions. I just want to say thank you so much. You put huge smiles on our faces, and God bless you for being just a beautiful, generous, giving heart. I love that. Jerry?
Thank you, Dennis, for the call. We appreciate that. I just wanted to, you know, zero in on, well, both of the things that he said that the devil hates, you know, families, of course. You know, Our Lady of Fatima predicted the last great battle would be between Satan, and he would wage war on the family, and we're certainly seeing that today. But also, Dennis rightly pointed out, and very astutely, I think, that the devil hates priests, you know, all of the demons and Satan, they hate priests, and he mentioned we need to pray for them. You know, I don't consider myself any great shakes or anything like that, but I can tell you, even considering, thinking about pursuing, discerning a vocation and being in the seminary, you get it thrown at you from a spiritual perspective all the time. You know, the devil is always at the door. And so I just say, not only pray for priests, but pray for those in formation and for our men and women religious and those who are answering, you know, those religious calls, because Satan really does. He hates them with a hatred that we can't even describe, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, thank you for sharing that, Jerry. And Dennis, thank you again from New York. Call us anytime, sir. Okay, Jerry, before we get to Pat in New Jersey, you have to read this. Pedro went on social media and got this story from Deacon Tom. You got to share this, Jerry.
Yeah, Deacon Tom from North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio, said several years ago on a very hot and humid Sunday in a small church with no air conditioning, after a parishioner donated enough money to get an air conditioning system installed because fans were not doing much to cool things down, he said, our priest gave this homily. He said, if you think this is hot, try hell. And that was Father Bernie, is what he said his name was, Father Bernie, who mentioned that. And to his parishioners. So
that was powerful.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, hell is going to be worse than anything we could possibly experience. So the worst thing we can go in life, it's going to be that infinitely, infinitely worse. So I would say one soul lost is too many.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Thank you, Deacon Tom. Okay, we're going to get back to the phones. Thank you again, Dennis from New York. And now we'll go to New Jersey. Pat, that's where Pat resides, and she's listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Pat. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. You go right ahead.
I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever called a radio show.
Oh, however, my goodness. Well, Pat, I'm from New Jersey. I was born and raised in New Jersey, so you're with family here, so you go right ahead.
Thank you. I had to call because as a young woman, and I was coming of age in the 70s, and I was bombarded with, feminism and your body is your choice and no one has the right to tell you what to do with your body. And in church on Sunday, a priest stood up and had the courage to speak about abortion. And I was so conflicted, I stood up and walked out. However, that homily has stayed with me, and if you do the math, for many, many years. And it planted the seed in my heart on how precious life is. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt I had to call to encourage any priest or bishop out there not to shy away from preaching the truth from the pulpit, because we are dying to hear it. And if people stand up and walk out, you're still planting treasures in their heart.
Yeah, what you said right there, Pat, is exactly what I was going to say. If a person is so impacted, either positively or negatively, favorably or adversely by a homily, you're exactly right. I mean, it has pierced through, it has entered their heart, and it's going to stay there, and it is going to, germinate and ruminate, and that's going to be something that stays with somebody for a long time. And it could be that person who gets up and walks out like you did, they could come back and be in a place where you are right now, Pat, which sounds like a very beautiful place. So, I know that experience was probably very alarming and troubling for you at the time, but, God had a plan there. He had you at that particular mass with that particular priest on that Sunday. And Debbie, look what it's done for Pat. Just a beautiful place that God has brought her to.
I completely agree. What a powerful call, Pat, and it stayed with you. And I agree with you. There are times when I'm sitting there and I'm kind of squirming a little bit in the pews because of something uncomfortable that Father's saying, or it's directly hitting me in a way that I'm like, oh, is he just talking straight to me? And but you may even have the urge to walk out or leave Mass early or something of that nature, but it does stay with you, and it does kind of prick your conscience and kind of remind you of things, and it really does leave an impact. So I agree with you, Pat. I get nervous when I see a lot of priests in homilies. They dance around a certain topic. They try to be kind of politically correct, if you will, or try to please everyone. Speak the truth. We need the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. And Pat, I just want to leave you the final comments, but I just want to say, I think I can speak for Jerry. You did a fine job calling in on the very first radio show you've ever called in on, and we do expect you to call us again, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I just, my last comment is the culture is very loud. We need our priests to be louder.
That's right. Great point. I'm going to take that to heart, Pat, and hopefully, God willing, if I do persevere and get ordained in a little less than 3 years, that I will remember your comment that you just made there, Pat. So thank you. That's not a homily, but it's a statement that's going to stay with me and that I will never forget. So God bless you, Pat. Thank you for being a first-time caller, and you probably listened to the show for some time now. So we're glad that you picked up that phone and took the chance and called, and you were, as Debbie said, you were great. Thank you, Pat. Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. Okay, so in just a moment, Pat will free that phone line for you to share the best homily you've heard, the most impactful homily, the strongest homily, the one that you just said, I've got to live out this homily that Father shared with all of us. The number to do that is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And if we have any clergy, any deacons or priests or bishops listening, and you'd like to share of a homily that you felt like, wow, I knocked that out of the ballpark, like a million parishioners came up to me and said, great job, Father, okay, or deacon, please call in. It's not about bragging about yourself, but give us the theme and the topic of the homily, because you're sharing with others. When good homilies are put out there, I mean, they're important and we need them, and just like Pat said, we need to hear the truth.
All right, 833-288-EWTN is the number for you to call. Still time to get you on the broadcast. 833-288-3986. Marcella, hang on there in Louisiana. You are right after Lori in Mansfield, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Lori.
I mean, it was
Lori, are you there? You got a radio on.
Yeah.
Lori, are you hearing us?
But she lowered the...
Oh, okay. Matt will pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Matt, can you pick up the phone with Lori? Because I think she may be talking to somebody else. So we'd love to hear Lori from Mansfield, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. But in the meantime, Jerry, what do you say we go to Marcella in Louisiana, like you promised, Jerry, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Marcella.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
So I, like Pat, this is the first time I've ever called in.
Wow.
But I wanted to talk about one that really affected me and my young son and my husband. As I was saying, me and my husband are church jumpers. Depending on where we're at and what we're doing, we'll go to different church, you know, or according to our time. And we were having trouble in my huge family on the subject of abortion. And it was getting to the point where I didn't even know where my mom's stance was for a minute. So we ended up going to a church in Nederland, Texas. I don't recall the church, but I do recall the homily. It was a deacon who stood up, and he happened to just be filling in that weekend. And he stood up, and he was explaining how a young girl was going to for an appointment for an abortion, and she passed by their yard, which had a huge statue of Jesus with his open arm, and she ended up stopping to talk to his wife, and his wife called him, and she said, honey, I need you to come home. And so, like I said, without going into all the details of the homily, he came home. And they ministered to this young girl, and they said, please, please, please just give us a chance to be able to help you with this abortion so that if you don't go through with it. They called an attorney, and the attorney said, you cannot give her money because it would be like brokering a baby. So they ended up filling her gas tank. They ended up giving her money, groceries, I'm sorry. And she left. She had other children. Her family would not take her back because she just was like a kind of screw up, I guess. I hate saying that, but kind of that was her word. And so her family wouldn't take her. The baby's father was in prison, and that's why she was going for the abortion. So they ended up going, him and his wife were going to a fitness place, and they were talking about it while they were on the treadmill, and a fitness instructor went up to them, and she said, I'll adopt the baby. Never asked if it was a drug mother or anything. I'll take the baby. Somebody else said the same thing. I'll take the baby. Never asked if it was a drug mother. Then she left. They never heard from her again. And then one day out of the blue, she stopped by again because she wanted them to know that she ended up keeping the baby. She had met another young mother, single mother, and they moved in together. One worked the night shift, one worked the day shift. That way they can keep each other's children. And she ended up working it out and keeping the baby. And this happened all at a time where it was real crazy and chaotic in our family about abortion, and it has always stuck with me, and I pray it always will stick with me.
Yeah, well, how could this not stick with you, Marcella? This is an absolutely astonishing story, and of God's, yeah, it really is, of God's grace and the help of you and so many others who assisted this young lady. So just to be clear, you said that this all kind of started because of a sign that was on the out in front of the church, on the lawn in front of the church?
No, and I was not involved. I just went to the church.
Oh,
okay. It was a deacon who had a huge statue of Jesus, the one in Rio.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so she's seen it, this woman, seen the statue of Jesus, and she just stopped to talk to somebody.
Mm.
It was like random. She's seen Jesus, and these people were faithful Catholics, and they ended up...
And they stepped up.
Talking
yeah.
her out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Powerful.
Mm,
wow.
Yeah.
So a statue was the first connection. And I'm so glad that the parishioners were ready, willing, and able to step up. And what a great story and homily the deacon shared. And I just want to stress that was a deacon that gave the homily, because oftentimes people will say, oh, you know, the deacons give a different type of homily, or, you know, and maybe some people, you know, care for it or don't, you know, but I love when the deacons share those stories. That's powerful. Jerry?
No, I think that was indeed just a very inspiring account for all of us to listen to, Marcella. We are so glad that you called in. Please do make a point of calling the show again sometime, because we love you and all of the Take Two family, and you're the ones mm-hmm. who make this show what it is every day. So
yes,
thank you, Marcella, so much. Yeah.
And you have a beautiful, joy-filled voice, Marcella. Keep your voice. It's gorgeous. Okay, thank you. I love your voice. It could brighten up a day. I tell you, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Lori's back from Mansfield, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hey, Lori. Thanks for coming back with us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. So I have two quick stories to tell. One was Father Jim at St. Joseph in Arlington, Texas. And it was during the Advent period, and he told a story about, he talked about how when he was a little boy, if they were doing homework in the evening or whatever, and the lights went out, they had to use a penny in the fuse box to keep the lights on. And because, you know, of course, you couldn't, at that time, you couldn't go to the store to buy more fuses if you were out of fuses. So they used a penny to keep the lights on in the house temporarily. And he talked about, you know, nowadays people will see a penny on the ground and they'll say, oh, it's just a penny, and they'll walk past. And he said he connected that to Jesus being, a seemingly insignificant, child born in a stable, and how Jesus brought light to the whole world. And that made a real impression on me. And then also Father George at our church, St. Jude in Mansfield, Texas, was, I can't remember, you know, whether this was a part of the homily or not, but he talked about how, people go on vacation and they can always find the amusement park or the museum or the national park, whatever attraction they're visiting. But he said somehow they can't find the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And since that homily, I have made every effort to make sure that I find the Catholic Church wherever we are, and that
deal.
I go to Mass on Sunday.
Yep.
So,
oh, good
anyway,
deal.
Those are my stories, my homilies, two of two that I've never forgotten. And thank you all for what you do.
Thank you.
I appreciate this program.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful. Well said. Well done. Thank you, Lori. We appreciate it. Thank you for contributing today to this great topic. I have to tell you, we're getting a couple messages, and we just got a message from one of our deacons that listened to the show, and I'll share that in a moment, because maybe this could be an announcement. But I have to talk to Jerry Usher about this, so we'll have to figure this out. But Jerry, before we get back to the phones, we'll get to Teresa next, and then Karen. Massive installation of Most Reverend Daniel E. Garcia. as the sixth bishop of Austin, Texas. And that'll be aired this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio Extra. So I love when these installation masses are so exciting, so beautiful. Real quickly, some of our listeners, and they're all on the same wavelength, and then the deacon had just chimed in. He just shared with me, why don't you make this particular topic a monthly topic? That is very interesting. So I guess, you know, we always say that these shows that we do is homily material, and actually we are learning and growing. So Jerry and I will talk about it, but that's brilliant, Deacon. Thank you so very much. Okay, Jerry, Teresa in Fresno, California is waiting. Sirius XM 130. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead.
I was driving to the greatest part of Fresno, which is the DMV, which I thought I need some inspiration. So I was listening to your station, and it was talking about the homilies and homilies that were so impactful. And one just shoots to mind every time, and it was at the Shrine of St. Teresa in Fresno, and it was Father Yvonne, I believe. And he was talking about the importance of the altar and how we come to the altar and we just kind of, you know, we bow and why are we bowing. And he says, I don't think you should always think like how, and this is how I interpreted it for me, was how important this altar is. You start your life in Christ at this altar and you will end your life at this altar. And he said, it was just so beautiful. And he said, everything important to you, your children, you will baptize them. You will make their first communions here. This altar is so important because Jesus is there and he's waiting for you. And he says, and everything good happens at this altar. He says, and I remember him talking even about death. It's not bad. It's your new life with him. So it was just so impactful. I wish I had his words because I know I'm filling it here. It's not as beautiful as what he said, but it's so true. That altar is where we start our life in Christ and where we'll end it. And I just thought that was so impactful.
Okay. Yeah, that brought tears to my eyes. That was powerful.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share. And I agree. I think this should be a monthly thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another vote for that.
We got three so far, Teresa. So if we get a fourth one, maybe we'll do it, right? We got three so far. The deacon, and another caller, and now you, Teresa. Okay, Jerry.
Thank you, Teresa. Yeah, that just reminds me of that poem, The Beautiful Hands of the Priest, how they are present to us at so many stages of our lives and important events. Teresa, God bless you. Thank you for making that beautiful contribution to our discussion. We have just enough time to get over to Karen in Phoenix, who is listening on Sirius XM 130. Karen, you will wrap up the broadcast today, but we're glad we have time for you. Go ahead.
Okay. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's coming up on the one-year anniversary of my husband's death, which is September 20th, and it was a Friday. And so I usually go to the vigil mass on Saturday night, and my best friend usually goes on Sunday at 11. But she met me at the door because she knew how hard it was going to be for me to go to mass. Mm-hmm. And the priest started out with his gospel saying that there was a little boy and he was asked, what's God's most important job? And the little boy said, God's most important job is creating new people. Mm. And I looked at my friend and she looked at me and I said, I'm going to lose it here. Mm-hmm. But it put in my heart that I should make a donation to First Way Pregnancy so that new people can be made.
Aww.
And anyone who asked me what they could do, what charity, I said First Way Pregnancy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so in my husband's name.
Beautiful.
And so even the friends that I play cards with, they're not a Catholic, but I explained to them what it was, and they called right away and made donations. And when I called First Way Pregnancy to let them know that there was going to be some donations coming in and that some people had sent me money and there was going to be more. And they said, well, let me send you to this person. And I said who I was. And he said, Karen, I already know about your husband. Donations have already come in.
Wow. It's
and it
right.
was two ladies from that I play cards with that had sent donations.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah, First Way Pregnancy is the our crisis pregnancy center that we have here in the Diocese of Phoenix, Arizona. That's I live in Gilbert, Arizona, Karen. Karen, do you feel comfortable giving us your husband's first name? I want to put you guys in the prayer book, and we want to be with you in spirit on September 20th. Can you give us his first name real quick?
Ralph.
Ralph, okay. We've got you in the book. And just know, feel our prayers, okay? We're with you and feel the love. Thank you for calling, Karen, and so sorry about your loss. Jerry.
Wow. I just feel like this has been... we have this feeling at the end of every show. The Take Two family, you are amazing. But we love being with you. This is what makes this show what it is. You are the ones who do that. So thank you for another impactful program. You know, folks, relationships are becoming more and more important every day with the horrible things going on in the world. So we're going to talk all about relationships tomorrow. In the meantime, we want to thank our show team, Matt, Michael, and Pedro. And for Debbie Giorgiani, I am Jerry Escher, wishing you a most beautiful and blessed day.